Investment Services.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mike Callen, appearing on behalf of Marcus and Millichap Real Estate Investment Services. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes. You know, I'd like to focus on two primary issues in this argument today. And the first is whether parties can ignore the specific writing requirements of the 2006 Uniform Arbitration Act and be compelled to arbitrate simply by the fact of their membership in an organization. Keeping in mind that one of these parties, one of the brokers in this particular matter, is not a member of the organization, the Commercial Brokers Association, which I'll refer to as CBA. The Uniform Arbitration Act was amended in 2006 and very specifically requires...
Is one of the parties to this lawsuit not a member?
Marcus and Millichap, I would argue there's no evidence that Marcus and Millichap, the brokerage firm, is an actual member. There's no evidence of any agreement, but it is a party to this litigation because the arbitration proceeding was initiated against it with the Commercial Brokers Association.
Are you using Marcus and Millichap to describe Marcus Millichap Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle?
Yes.
Well, if they weren't a member, why didn't you just make short shrift of all of this and just, instead of engaging in the arguments that we've got, just go to the Superior Court and say, well, we're not a member, so none of this applies to us. We have no idea what they're talking about. Never met these guys before.
Well, because the brokerage firm is in charge of the funds, and the real estate brokers must hang their license, if you will, with that brokerage firm. So
I'm not talking about I'm talking about the Marcus and Millichap.
Right.
I mean, if you're not a member, I mean, the question was, is there anybody who's not a member? You seemed to indicate that you didn't think they were a member.
Well, the claim was that they were a member. They and their brokers were members.
And you're saying they're not a member.
I'm saying there's no evidence in the record that they are a member of the organization, that the...
In your answer, did you deny that?
Well, there really wasn't. We didn't get to a formal answer in the proceedings because when the arbitration proceeding was initiated, the matter was then moved to Superior Court with cross motions.
Well, I just wonder why you spent all of this time briefing whether there's written documents that show willingness to arbitrate and all of this other stuff. If it's as simple as they're not members, why didn't you just go to court and say they're not members?
Well, I think we argued that at the trial court.
Is there a declaration that says I'm the authorized representative of Marcus Millichap? Marcus Millichap does not belong to the Commercial Brokers Association?
Yeah, the declaration of Mr. Dees, who's the regional manager, says I'm not aware of any documents that
we've signed. That's not what you're answering a different question. I'm asking a very direct question. If you seriously are taking the position that your client here was not a member, why would you seek to litigate all of these collateral questions? That would be a very direct answer to the issue here. This is a thing amongst members. We're not a member. This is our proof that we're not members. We have no idea who these people are. Why they think we're members. I have no idea why we're on their website.
Well, because I think that wouldn't be a correct statement either, Your Honor.
Without prevaricating, are they members?
Yeah. Well, the question is, well, that's the question. Are they members, or really are they not? Do they utilize the services of the Commercial Brokers Association? Yes, they do.
Does this organization collect annual dues?
It collects dues on a monthly basis.
Does Marcus Millichap Real Estate Investment Services, Inc. of Seattle, Inc. pay those dues?
No. The...
Does it collect money from other people and forward it as payment of the dues in its name?
It collects funds from its brokers, who are, some of which are members, and pays those dues. And then recollects those back from its brokers.
Does the Commercial Brokers Association, either on a website or on a piece of paper or someplace, identify who its members are?
Yes, it identifies...
Does it identify Marcus Millichamp, Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle, as a member?
I believe it only reflects the individual brokers as members. And it identifies their affiliation, yes.
So how did it come to pass that you participated in an arbitration under this organization in the past?
Prior members and prior brokers initiated, but didn't participate in, but initiated arbitration with the Commercial Brokers Association in the past.
Is that the name of Marcus Millichamp, Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle, Inc.?
Well, it's in the name of the individual bringing the action as a broker with Marcus and Millichamp. And so that begs the question, does a broker from many years ago have the ability to bind Marcus and Millichamp, Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle, Inc., years later, long after they're gone, to an arbitration proceeding now?
Who are the parties to the arbitration that your client sought to prevent?
The arbitration was initiated by the brokerage firm Yates, Woods, and McDonald's.
And who did they initiate it against?
They initially initiated it against the individual brokers and then changed that to name Marcus and Millichamp of Seattle.
Did they change that because of some objection that the individual brokers made or some discovery as to who held the money?
That is unclear. It's unclear why they changed that that designation of the party in the CBA arbitration. There's no record of that. It just simply changed. There was a new amended request for arbitration.
So at arbitration, did you argue you were not a member?
We never participated in the arbitration. When the arbitration proceeding was initiated, we immediately moved in Superior Court to preclude the arbitration. And there were cross motions to compel arbitration and to strike the arbitration.
And did you assert you were not a member?
Yes, we asserted lack of membership and lack of agreement to arbitrate.
There's a difference between being able to prove you're a member and saying I'm not a member. Did you just put them to their proof that they couldn't produce a document, or did you affirmatively say we don't belong?
Well, Your Honor, keep in mind in this process...
That's a real simple question. You can answer it as A or it would be. I'm not interested in a long answer.
Yeah. There was no discovery conducted, but we responded by saying... Marcus and Millichamp is not a member of the organization subject to the arbitration rules.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Graff of Ryan Swanson in Cleveland on behalf of the respondent, Yates Wood.
So why did you commence an arbitration against somebody who wasn't a member?
The simple answer, Your Honor, is we did not. Marcus and Millichamp.
What was before the trial court to indicate that they were actually a member?
There were numerous things before the trial court to indicate they were a member, Your Honor. There was the declaration of SEBA's CEO and executive director that affirmatively testified that they are a member of SEBA. There was broker roster updates that are in the record attached to SEBA's declaration that list Marcus and Millichamp's member number that are signed by Mr. Dice as a representative of Marcus and Millichamp, submitting roster updates to update SEBA about the comings and goings of
Marcus
broker
and
as a member.
Has a member number?
It does, Your Honor.
Its own or
its own number. It's not tied
to... You routinely give those to non-members?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Absolutely not. And there's also Marcus and Millichamp's conduct in the record with respect to it being a member of SEBA. It initiated, it, Marcus and Millichap, initiated arbitration under SEBA's arbitration clause.
With the characterization that that arbitration was initiated by individual brokers in their own names.
Your Honor, the
rogue broker. Rogue broker went and initiated an arbitration under their name.
An initial complaint, the initial arbitration demand, listed Natalia Baran, who was a broker of my client Yateswood and McDonald, as the initial broker. But that was corrected because it has to be the
I'm not talking about this arbitration. I'm talking about the earlier arbitration.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It was initiated by Marcus and Millichap, the entity. And that complaint, that arbitration demand against Westlake Associates is in the record, Your Honor. I can get you.
And that complaint would have been a real surprise to the Commercial Brokers Association if it had come from someone who didn't belong to it.
Nobody that is not a member can initiate arbitration under SEBA's arbitration rules. You have to be a member.
So the previous arbitration, was it Marcus and Millichap on behalf of a broker? Or was it just them?
It was just them, Your Honor. And specifically, I can get you, it is, I can get you
a. We can find it. Let's spend our time on the argument rather than you looking through papers.
Yeah, it is not a, for lack of a term, better term, a derivative lawsuit on behalf of their broker or anything of that nature. Marcus and Millichap is the claimant in the underlying litigation against Westlake Associates. And to be clear, Marcus and Millichap engaged prior to this suit, prior to this arbitration, engaged in two separate arbitrations, one as a respondent, one as a petitioner. The one I'm talking about specifically here is the one where they were a petitioner against Westlake Associates. But even in the one as a respondent, it was Marcus and Millichap, the entity that was engaged in the arbitration proceeding, not some.
You started to explain, and we took you away from it to talk about what we wanted to at the time, but you started to explain the path that this particular request had taken. It had been requested by someone, and then that was changed, and then we took you away from that. Could you pick up from
sure.
there?
Sure, absolutely, Your Honor. And then in order to initiate the arbitration, so how this works is designated broker offices are members of SEBA, and then you can have individual agents or brokers who are participating agents who also get the rights to list properties on the website, access the website, those kind of things. But they're participating agents under the broker office. So just as Mr. Marash is a participating agent under Marcus and Millichap's broker office with SEBA, Ms. Baran is a participating agent with SEBA under Yates, Wood, and McDonald's broker office. So she originally, her name appeared on the arbitration demand against Mr. Marash. It was corrected to be Yateswood and McDonald, the claimant.
Because she wouldn't be the proper party.
Correct, against Marcus and Millichap. And even in Marcus and Millichap's response, their answer to the...
So there was an answer.
Absolutely, there was an answer. Without any objection that they're not subject to SEBA arbitration, that they're not a SEBA member, anything of the sort.
And that's in the record.
It is in the record. And it's in the name of Marcus and Millichap, not any individual broker.
So you started to say in their response...
So in the response, even if you look at the caption of the response, it's Yates, Wood, and McDonald versus Marcus and Millichap. They are the entities. They are the members. That's how this process works.
So could some rogue broker have just dragged them in unknowingly into an arbitration several years ago and bound them to this one?
No, Your Honor. The arbitration clause is specific and applies to commission disputes between or among members of SEBA. This is not an issue of a rogue broker having authority or no authority to bind Marcus and Millichap. Marcus and Millichap is a member, as is Yateswood and McDonald.
The clause that's in your bylaw, the arbitration provision in your bylaw that you... offer as the writing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your position is this is a commission dispute. It's a commission dispute amongst members. So it falls within, by the plain language, it falls within that, notwithstanding that the sale itself was outside the CBA.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. What if the particular documents created to accomplish this sale had provided a clause that either gave jurisdiction over any dispute arising from the sale to the Pierce County Superior Court, or gave jurisdiction over the dispute arising from this any dispute arising from this sale to a different arbitration agency. How would we make sense of your interpretation that yours should prevail, or is there some reason why yours would not prevail in those circumstances but would here?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Typically, you would see an arbitration, a clause would apply in some sort of a commission agreement between the seller of the property and Marcus and Millichap as its agent.
We've got Paul Allen, and okay. He didn't like any of his stuff, especially in court, especially in Washington with all of this free information we got going on.
Yes.
So he's got some interest in this property, and he has his own documents written by his own people, and they say you're going to Paul Allen's arbitration thing. Anybody that touches this, that makes a penny or seeks to make a penny of any money that might once have gone through Paul Allen's clutches, are going to go to this arbitration over here that's held in secrecy on Bora Bora, where nobody can find out what happened. So, I mean, it really is meaningful to the to a participant, but that participant that it's meaningful to isn't one of the disputants.
Okay.
So I've created a ridiculous situation, but just try and show a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. How do we make sense out of what you're saying our bylaw covers in the face of a private agreement that would seem to be contrary?
In that circumstance, I don't know if I know how legally we would work through which provision trumps one another, to answer your question honestly, Judge Goyer. Okay. The circumstance here is nothing of the sort. There's no clause.
Okay, let me ask you a different one then. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't. If there are two competing arbitration clauses or one arbitration clause,
it's
and
some
call
weird
for
choice of law analysis.
Exactly. Which,
okay, how about this? Costco puts in its membership agreement an arbitration clause that says any dispute between a member and Costco or a dispute by or between or among a member Costco and any Costco supplier, no matter the underlying cause of action, will go to Costco arbitration. They're in big rooms and they're oversized awards. So they go to Costco arbitration. And a member is struck by a Coca-Cola truck on I-5.
Okay.
And there's no dispute that Coca-Cola is a supplier of Costco, but this truck wasn't going to Costco. And the member wasn't even either. But that would fall within that arbitration arbitration clause, right? And that seems a bit worrisome.
It could, and I think the issue goes to one of intent.
What's the nexus?
I think it's intent,
Your Honor.
Like at the time that the parties become members, could it reasonably be intended that the dispute to arise, even a future dispute like happens here, was intended by the parties to fall within the specter of what would be arbitrated? There's a case, not cited by either party, because I don't think it's particularly on all fours, but Todd versus Vin West, I believe, and I can get you a case citation, that talks about the issue of intent. The issue there, is similar hypothetical, I guess, so to speak, was you had an employment agreement between two parties. May I finish this one turn? You had an employment agreement between two parties that were each separately members of different associations. And then those associations had an agreement that disputes between members of the various associations would arbitrate. But these two parties then subsequently, later on, enter into an employment relationship, an employee-employer relationship containing no arbitration clause. And the holding in that case was the parties couldn't possibly, at the time that they became members of this association, have reasonably intended that their employment relationship, having nothing to do with their memberships, would be bound by the arbitration clause. So I think it's an issue of intent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The issue of membership can be easily resolved if SEBA would follow its own rules. It apparently has a contract, an application, where, according, if you look at CP 37, all members are required to sign a contract or an agreement with SEBA. And in that agreement, all members are required to arbitrate disputes. Yet we don't have that agreement for Marcus and Millichap, for any of its members. We don't have one for Yates, Woods, and McDonald. There's not one of these agreements.
I'm troubled by some of the things that you said in the initial argument and whether they're consistent with the record. I thought you said in your opening argument that the earlier arbitration was not initiated in the name of Marcus Millichap Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle, Inc. I understood opposing counsel correctly. He tells me there is a pleading demanding arbitration in which Marcus Millichap is the demanding party. Are you in agreement with him that document's in the record, or do you disagree?
I think the record is that the arbitration was initiated by individual members of Yates, Wood, and McDonald.
Who is named as the party seeking relief?
In the arbitration proceeding?
In the earlier arbitration proceeding.
When you say earlier, in the years prior?
In the years prior.
I'd have to look at the record, but I believe it is a member of Marcus and Millichap on behalf of Marcus and Millichap, because that's who holds the fee. I'm not representing that it was any type of rogue agent, right?
That you're representing that if I look at the caption, I won't see Marcus and Millichap Real Estate Investment Services, Inc., B, and another corporate entity.
No, I expect you will see that. Okay. Yeah. What I'm indicating.
I will see that?
You will. You will see.
I'm having a hard time reconciling that with what you said earlier. And, you know, we've gone down this road because of a representation you made that Marcus Millichap was not a member. And I'm a little troubled if all of the documents suggest something different, but that's the argument I'm hearing this morning rather than the ones that are in your brief.
Well, what I'm representing is, and I agree with counsel, that there is a number that's assigned to forms that get sent out to Marcus and Millichap.
So you do have a member number.
Well, I don't know that it's a member number. It's a number, okay? But it is very different.
It's a unique number that the Commercial Brokers Association associates with Marcus Millichap, Real Estate Investment Services of Seattle.
With that office, yes.
Okay. And it doesn't associate it with a particular broker?
No.
And if a broker leaves, the number's still the same at Marcus Millichap?
Yes. Individual brokers have their own numbers assigned to them. That's what I understand. Can I make one last point, Your Honor?
Sure.
Oh, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.